Good morning. We're meeting together in a new way, and I'm so glad you decided to join us. This is something that we couldn't have done without, obviously, God's help, but we're so grateful for churches like in our community, like The Crossing, that allowed me to come over and use their resources and their support of their staff. In addition to that, if you haven't downloaded the Bible app, you should. They have an incredible help when it comes to our devices to get into God's Word, to have study plans, things to be praying about, things that will help you grow in your faith. And they provided actually the resource for us to actually put this online and allow you and I to actually share this time together. And so I just want to say thanks in the beginning of that. But it is great to have a chance to be with you, even though we can't be in the same room. And so I just want to say thank you for that, for taking time and being here. One thing to be clear, I was talking with a church last week that apparently instead of going with other options like we're using today, they decided to use Skype. And when they got the Skype going, that was great. They got several dozen of their church families, the smaller congregation, but they got several dozen of their families to get on the Skype. And here they are on Skype, and they're going through their worship time together. And they're enjoying it, but one thing they failed to mention was they can see the other people that are going on Skype. And so here they are doing Skype, and then there's people in the background like not wearing all their pajamas, if you get what I'm saying. And so just so you know, I can't see you. That's you're probably appreciative of that. You know, you can have your coffee or your tea or your breakfast. You can be in your pajamas. You might end up liking this so much that you prefer this more than coming to our church family when we normally get together. But in all seriousness, please know that we're so grateful that you took this time to be here with us, and we pray that it encourages you. So before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have called us to gather today. We're your church, whether we're in the same building or in our homes. We are your church. Whether we're gathered or scattered, we're yours. And we're so grateful for your work in our hearts and our lives. We pray for our world. We pray that you would give us your peace and your presence, especially in this moment, that we would know you are faithful in spite of our circumstances, that you are good, and you're working in ways we can't even imagine. Not only to counter this virus, but to help us continue in our relationship with you and in the mission you've called us to be about, to share the hope of your son Jesus with all those that we meet. Sometimes we use words, sometimes our prayers, sometimes our actions. But Lord, you use it all. And we humble ourselves before you and ask that you would continue to do your work in us, so that you can continue to do the work through us. We thank you and praise you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I'd like to talk to you today about something that really is the challenge that we're all facing. One of those things that we face is how do we move forward in this new reality where toilet paper has some commodity to it in ways that it hadn't before, but how do we seriously move forward, not in fear, but in faith? The challenge that you and I face, I think, many times is we don't even realize when we're actually looking or when we're walking in fear. It just kind of happens. It kind of creeps up on us, and before you know it, we're struggling. Before you know it, we're reacting. We're not responding in love. We're reacting in fear. And it's important that I think that we just start to just take a moment. Let's say, okay, where is God wanting to move here? I think it's absolutely crucial on a daily basis for us, moment by moment, depending on what situation is going on, say, Lord, what do you want to do here? How do you want to work in me and through me here? How can I walk in the way that would reflect you and your love? And so today, I'd like to talk to you about what would it look like to walk in faith and not in our fear. The things we see on the news outlets, again, we're grateful for what they do for our community and what they kind of help us communicate and stuff. But there's a lot of times they're looking for ratings and they're looking to try to get us just to keep tuning in. And you just don't know what's going to go out there, and social media as well. And so just before you turn on the TV, before you open your phone or before you any device and start looking on social media, I want to encourage you to start in prayer. Before your feet come out of the bed, just a simple prayer. Lord, help me to walk with you today. Help me to walk in faith today. Help me to trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I hear, in spite of even what I feel. Help me to trust that you're working, that you're not done, that there's better things to come. It's simple, it's short, it doesn't have to be even as many words as that. It just has to come from your heart, knowing that God is there listening with his heart. And so the big question is, how do you do that? How do you actually live that out? How do you actually lean into it? How do you start becoming the person God's called you to be in such a way that you're not struggling moment by moment, you're not crippled by fear, you're not assuming the worst, but you're believing the best? Well, I think it's something that Jesus talks about many times, and there's many scriptures that support this. And so on your device, you might see where I'm coming through that there's a little section for a Bible there. Click on that. I'd like you to open up to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. If you have your actual, written Bible, that's great too. It's going to be closer to the end. It's in the New Testament, or I like to say part two. And chapter 6, it's the first account we have of Jesus' life, known as one of the Gospels. And in Matthew, he's talking to a Jewish audience. He's talking to people that would know a lot of the kind of the underlying Jewish little breadcrumbs he's leaving. But there's still a lot of stuff in here that really we should be paying attention to. One thing in particular is the person who's writing this, Matthew, happens to be a tax collector, or was a tax collector. And here Matthew is someone who has experienced God's grace in a way that many of us can't even imagine. He was pretty much looked on as the lowest of the lows amongst all society. He had sold out his people in serving with the Romans. And in addition to that, He's kind of taking some and skimming some from the top. And so that's kind of how they did it back then. And he was a tax collector of tax collectors. So he was a chief tax collector. So he had other people working for him. And so it was one of those things where anytime he put a little addition on his house, guess what? That was probably because the neighbors down the road went without. And so the challenge that you and I face sometimes is going, we just read these stories and we just think it's like, oh, okay, that's good. It's a nice little historical thing, or I can get a little positive idea. It's so much bigger than a positive idea. This is a story that happened, but it's a story that's still happening. It's our story. And this Matthew is a changed person because of what God did in his heart and what he wants to continue to do even in our lives. And so Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So I will have it on the screen, but love for when you follow it in your own Bible, or if you have it on your device, and you can make notes there, and it'll be there for good. So just join with me here as I read. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This might sound familiar to some of you, right? Like, this, like, wait a minute, I know this one. This is the Lord's Prayer. Yes, it is. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. It's important to know that as we look into his text, into the scriptures, that there's so much going on here that we probably just kind of go with. You might have said the Lord's Prayer all your life. You might have learned it like I did when I was a child, praying with my family. We'd sometimes say it before bed. We usually said it sometime around, in church time, different times, we were gathered together. But it was something that, in my tradition, we said it as trespasses. It's okay. It doesn't really matter. I think debts is a better understanding when it comes to what Jesus is doing and all the things that are represented here. But the reality is, this prayer is so much more than just something you might consider. Sometimes I think we look at God's teachings or what he wants to tell us or teach us, and in that we kind of assume, oh, that's, you know, something that I'll think about, like it's some piece of advice. Unfortunately, that's not really, I think, the way God intended it. I think God intended it to be instruction and direction, not information for consideration, but I might a little digress there. But so let's jump back into the text. Something that Jesus is wanting them to know is this then is how you should pray. So he's teaching them how to pray. He's teaching them, listen, this is important. And it's so important that you understand too, this is a time in the disciples' lives, his cadre, his 12 followers, disciples, that he's teaching them things of how to live, how to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's not something that sometimes we feel qualified to do. If someone asks you to pray, guess what? Go for it. Have some courage. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the right words. I've heard people pray that had amazing vocabulary, but I really questioned their heart just because I knew their life when I heard them. And I'm like going, man, that's tough. Because sometimes we just feel like, man, I just, you know, what do I got to say? And does God really care? He does. He does. So he goes on to this. He tells them this. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Now, our Father, the best translation for that, it sounds really good, and it's true. He is our Father, and he's the best Father you could possibly ever have. But our Father is the best word probably today would be like daddy. Dad. Papa. This term here is a term of endearment. This term is to help us understand that loving God that we have. It's not some mystical, faraway God that we don't have a personal relationship with. No, this is a heavenly dad who is so interested in our lives and is so involved in our lives. In heaven. Now, it's not like this place far, far away. This heaven thing is not like this place I just go to when I die. Heaven is can be experienced, I actually believe it, right here, right now, because Jesus said it like this in John, that he says that heaven, eternal life, is this, that you should know the Father. And the Father and I are one. That we can know the Father knowing Jesus. And we can actually start, eternity is now in session, as the great Dallas Willard would say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're holy, you are. You're so different, unlike anyone else. And then he goes on to say this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, that we're praying for God's kingdom to be present here. Now, understand that means that it's not already here. Understand that there's a reason why there's a virus. There's a reason why there's slavery today, terrorism. There's a reason we struggle in so many ways with addictions in our world, because his kingdom hasn't fully come to bear. And part of it is he needs to do the transformation in us, in all of us, not just those people. It's all people. He needs to change us from all of us, from the inside out. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, what you desire, what you think is best in us and for us. See, he's not just teaching people about, hey, you can pray like this, or this is some ideas, but he actually models it. And as you look a little closer and closer to what this prayer says and teaches, there's so much that he's trying to do to help us understand that his kingdom is working in us and through us. And then he goes on to say something that you would have heard pretty common in that time period. Every day you'd go to the temple to pray if you were able to, or some type of worship, some type of gathering. And you knew that God was the one who was in charge. He was the one who was responsible to give you what you needed. Give us today our daily bread. It's so much bigger than just our stuff. It's not just about having our daily bread, but knowing who is the bread of life. And if you look, all of these things in the prayer, you can find elements that it points back to Jesus' teachings or his example, his model, who he is even. And this is one of those where Jesus says, again in another account in John, says, I am the bread of life. And he's saying that, listen, you give us today our daily bread. come to me for what you truly do desire. I was asked this week by a family member. It was very interesting. She was asking questions about, you know, well, maybe Adam and Eve messed up because, you know, they had desire. They were just selfish. I said, absolutely, there was desire there. Absolutely, there was selfishness. But it didn't occur, it didn't happen until they actually bit from the tree, till they took that apple and bit into it. Don't get me wrong, it started in their heart. They deceived themselves. They were deceived in addition to that. But all of that working together, it started when they started to look outside of God to deal with their desires. The desire to know is something, I think, innate in us that God gave us. To know Him, to know the one true God, the one who loves us in spite of ourselves, the one who loves us and sees what we're becoming, sees what He's doing in us, knows that we see our present and our past. We try to learn from our past, but not let the past determine our present or our future. But He knows where He's taken us. And so every time we struggle, every time we fail, He knows it's one step closer to becoming the person that He's changing us into. And so it starts with us realizing He is our bread. He is our sustenance, turning to Him. He goes on to say this too, and this should be something that describes us, because he says, you know, give us today our daily bread. But then he says, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. There's a hint here of, I think, a year of Jubilee when Jesus proclaims how he's come to share the Lord's favor, that he's here to proclaim the good news of that, his kingdom. And that word, the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, is something very, I think, goes right to this idea of debts being forgiven. The year of Jubilee was something that was a promise that everyone, everywhere would be forgiven their debts. It would just be wiped clean. After so many years, you have this whole challenge and stuff like this, this debts you have incurred and stuff like this was radical, that they would just wipe it away clean. And I think Jesus is saying, I'm the one to actually make this happen. This idea of forgiveness, though, interpersonally was very new. We see this because when Jesus has conversations with people, one of the things that comes out is when he says, your sins are forgiven. Man, it's way, people are not okay with this. And I mean by the people is the religious leaders. Because it's always at the temple and the sacrifices and the things that God originally instituted back in part one of how to deal with sin. And he has this, that Jesus is the one who forgives. That Jesus is the one that we have to turn to. And when we go to him, he makes us, as the great hymn says, whiter than snow. And so may we continue to turn to him when we are living out of our brokenness, when we're not leaning in to seeking him and following him and being in step with him. May we understand that he's called us to go to him, be forgiven, be renewed, be restored, and to go on. But then he says this, and as we also have forgiven our debtors. That I don't know if it's a command in that, a direct A plus B equals C kind of thing that we can follow like that. I think he's trying to say, listen, you've been forgiven with so much by our amazing good God that you should be known as a forgiving people, that you should be known as people that truly, truly desire to help others know God's grace and mercy in how you live. Not because people deserve it. Don't miss this. Forgive. That word give is right in there. It's not something people earn. It's something that's just freely given. And so we should be known by that. And then he goes on something here that, again, ties directly to his life and lead us not into temptation. He was tempted right after his baptism. It says the scripture say that the Spirit led him off into the desert. Here he is in the desert, and he's being tempted. And all these temptations, these three temptations that we have recorded, are things that we all encounter. We can do things outside of God that we can do and just kind of our own thing, our will. There's times that you're going to be tempted to just kind of take the easy way out, instead of having character and integrity and saying, God, I need your help and help me do the right thing. even though it's hard. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the one who wants to take our joy, take our lives, take our hope. The challenge that you and I face on an everyday basis is choosing to say, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me to not believe the lies. Help me not to believe the one that's wanting to steal, kill, and destroy, but to actually walk with you. And so I encourage you in this time of trying to really live out this faith and this journey that God's called us to be and do, may you look to Jesus. It sounds like the Sunday school answer, I know. And when I was working on the message, I was going like that's too simple, Lord. And then it was like, yeah, Jesus loved simple. He wasn't about complicating things. It's crazy how when you look at it, Exodus in here, Exodus 20, you have a list of the Ten Commandments. Sometimes people call them rules. Really, it's about how we keep these. The first four are about how relation with God. The next six are about relation with other people. If we keep these, we're going to be in step with God better. We're going to live lives that will be healthier, will be better. But from those 10, over the course of a few decades and over the course of the next couple thousand years, they actually became 613 do's and don'ts. 613 do's and don'ts of that if you follow this, you'll keep the commandments, or if you follow this, you won't break them. And so then all the people are the debate of Jesus today was, well, which one's the ones I really need to keep? Which are the ones that are just the most important? So we don't get lost, so we don't get stuck in kind of just trying to, you know, keep juggling everything and just going, well, I hope God accepts me today. I did my best. The commandments were to help us to walk in step with the Lord. They didn't establish a relationship. Our relationship is already there. He is absolutely engaged, involved in our lives in ways we can't even imagine. We know this from Genesis to Revelation. We know this throughout history. And if you haven't experienced it, this is a day you can experience it. Looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, help me to know you. Help me to know you, like Pastor Dustin's saying, help me to know that you love me where I'm at. You love me enough to help me through where you're trying to take me and grow me. But to know that it's about trusting in you, having faith. Sometimes that word faith is something that just confuses us. It's used in a lot of ways, misused in a lot of ways, I should say. But faith is simply trusting in him. Sounds again simple, too easy, but it really is trusting in him, that he's enough, that what he says about us is all that really matters. And what he says about his future and what he's doing in this world is all that really matters. And he says, you're gonna hear things that people are gonna scare you. They're gonna tell you it's the end. You got no chance. There's no way this is gonna work out. You should be really worried. And he says, listen, I'm good. I've heard you calling in the night. I'm with you every step of the way. Trust in and walk on. So we start with, so we can walk again in faith and not again in fear. But to walk in faith means to, again, trust in the one and then live it out. Walk on with that same trust that, hey, what he told me in the morning still works today. What he told me yesterday still works today. What he tells me today is going to work tomorrow. And it's about daily, every day, going to him and knowing who you are and who he is. He says it in another way. This scripture's I put a little image that we'll use for kind of help people know about, again, our service, stuff like that. But it comes from Isaiah 41. So let me just kind of read to you just two little verses. Isaiah 41:10. He says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then verse 13, he says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. He's saying, I'm a part of your life. You go, I go. He's right there with us every step. And he says, you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. I'm enough. He says, do not fear. I will help you. So how do you do that? How do you trust in and walk on? It's not crazy, but just trust me on this one when it comes to, it starts with our listening and talking to God, being still before him, knowing He is God, being reminded first and foremost who He is, who we are in Him, and then to trust and walk in on that by being still before Him. And so I want to give you a minute. I want to give you a minute right now and just invite you to be still. If you're cooking breakfast and while you're hearing this or whatever like that, just take it off the burners. And I just want you to just kind of be still right now. Find a chair or some place where you can be comfortable. And I just want you to keep your feet on the ground, put your chest back, hands on your legs, and just close your eyes and breathe in deep and breathe God's breath for you. And then breathe it out. And I want you, as your eyes are closed, to hear these words again. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not fear. I will help you. Now open your eyes. Take a scripture, a verse. I want to invite you to take the Lord's Prayer this week and let it be in the morning and maybe set an alarm or your watch or something in the afternoon and even before bed. Three times every day, I'd like you to pray the Lord's Prayer, but not trying to check a box off and just trying to get through it, but let the prayer in this kind of same kind of manner to be still and just pray. Pray it slowly, pray it from the heart, and let the Lord minister to you. Know who your Father is. Know that there's no one like Him, that His kingdom is working to come into our lives, that His will is working to be done in our lives and through our lives, that it may be here as well as where He is at. And give us today, again, supply our needs. Help us in being the people you've called us to be. Help us not to look to anyone else or anywhere else, that nothing else will satisfy except for you. And again, Lord, help us to walk free, to walk like the people you've called us to be, your sons and your daughters. And then because of that, be different people and be eager to forgive others and to help us in not being caught up in the temptations of life, knowing that He's our protector, that He's our guide. One of the best ways, again, to do this as we turn and look to Jesus is, again, in prayer, but also to be a community. Now, one of our greatest challenges and one of the greatest concerns I've had in this last week, has been how can we as a church be present in people's lives? How can we reach out? How can we be the church? Because the church, again, isn't a building. Doesn't have an address. The church is you and I. The church is us being God's people in God's way, wherever He has us. And so I pray that you will be encouraged by this, that you will know that you can do it even in spite of not being able to either go out or meet with people, especially in large groups and stuff. And so don't feel that you have to have that connection like that, but you can still do it. Number one, by praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ, by making sure that you're not just saying a quick list of prayers, but just, Lord, I know you love so and so. This week, I have been very busy with lots of meetings, or you know, lots of things going on with worship and what it looks like for the next few weeks and maybe longer. With the current state of affairs. And yesterday even, I got called, I was called by Beatrice. Many of you know Miss B. She's the one that stands in the front. We have our greeter at the door, and then she's the person that will just has a big old smile and takes a name tag and puts it right on there, and has always just such a joy. And if you don't have a name tag, she'll get you a name tag, but just always a wonderful joy to be with her. She's been struggling, been recovering from her surgeries, and hasn't been able to be at church in our gathered sense in a while. But she reached out to me and just was giving me some updates and what doctors have said and stuff. And I just said, "Miss B, would you pray for me?" And I knew that I needed it. I knew that it's been a long week. And man, was she just so gracious and so beautiful in giving me that encouragement. She didn't have to have a lot of words. She didn't have to have a special vocabulary. Although she does pray beautifully, but it was just about a sister praying for a brother, going to our Lord, and helping me be reminded that even though we weren't face to face, that God was caring for me through our community. And so I want to encourage you to reach out to brothers and sisters in our church family, in your neighborhood. Your family may be across the country or across the world. Reach out to them. And in the conversation of catching up, ask them if you can pray for them. Ask them if you can just short prayer, especially for those that maybe don't have a relationship with the Lord, or maybe it's kind of still new, or maybe it's been a while. It can be just, again, short. Lord, just help her or help him know you love him and you care about him. I pray that this will... That this message, even though you might be in your pajamas and watching this, may you be encouraged that God is not done, that our community is so much stronger because it's in him, that he's the one who started this, he's the one who's going to bring it to fruition. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for meeting us right where we're at. Thank you for, again, the amazing goodness of your Son, that no matter where we're at, you are faithful. No matter what we're struggling with, you're enough. That we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be dismayed, because you are good and you are God. Help us to be mindful of how you've blessed us to be a blessing. Help us to know who we are in you and who you are over these next several weeks especially. May we give our first part of our day to you. May we seek you out and not be confused, but be confident in you. That we have a confident hope because of what your Son is doing in us, what he's doing in this world. And may we continue to reach out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to those who do not know you. May we share the hope we have in you because of what you've done in us and what you want to do in their lives. We give you praise, we give you thanks. Again, we lift up our government. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would continue to just help those who are in the medical field, especially give them the strength they need, and help society, community, Lord, to be mindful of their interactions. This truly is an incredible example that one person and their choices impacts so many others. So we humble ourselves before you. We pray again, your will be done. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world. Again, we give thanks for especially those that have really just blessed us this week at the Crossing and Life Church. And may you continue to bless them and what you're doing in them and through them. And Lord, help us at All Villages be that family that loves you and loves one another. Encourage our hearts, we pray. Again, being your hands and feet, your salt and light. May you receive again all the glory. May we look back over these next few weeks. We pray only a few weeks, but especially these next few weeks. May we look back and know with a complete confidence that you have done a major work in this world, and turn to you and praise you and thank you now and forever. We pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen. We hope that you'll join us again in the weeks to come. We're going to do our best to add elements of whether it be music and song or some type of liturgy. We'll see what we can do, but something to help us and guide us in our prayers in our time together as well as in our time apart. But now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. In fact, wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace. Go in his love. And go in his power. Amen. God bless, guys. Love you. Hugs from a distance. Bye-bye.